In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to
God. Sisters, in the Gospel reading today, we heard the Lord speak these words. When he lifted up his eyes and he looked to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, so that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. These words of the Lord are part of his great high priestly prayer, that prayer that he offers on behalf of all to his heavenly Father, the one whom he shares the throne of divinity with the Holy Spirit. But as the God-man, he offers this prayer so that everyone might have life eternal. And what is this eternal life but to know the true God, the heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ whom he sent, and to come to this knowledge by the gift of the Holy Spirit. We just heard how the Lord lifted up his eyes and looked to heaven when he offered this prayer. And he looked where he was to go. He was to return to where he had come from. He was to ascend back to heaven, to sit once again on that throne. And when he looks up, he foresees not only his coming cross, his death, his burial in the tomb, his resurrection on the third day, but also the ascension into heaven, where he completes everything. He says on the cross, Father, it is finished, meaning that he's done all of the ministry necessary on earth, and now he's come to destroy death by death and to grant resurrection to the world. During these 40 days of Pascha, we've been celebrating this resurrection, just like the apostles did for those 40 days after the Lord rose from the dead. They continually saw him appear and manifest himself to them, teaching them about the things of the kingdom of God, preparing them for his ascent into heaven on that 40th day, and also preparing them for the reception of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father that he would give on that great day of Pentecost. This was a time of joy for the disciples, but also a time of transition, because the one whom they loved was leaving them, or at least so they thought. You see, the one whom they loved was leaving them bodily, but he was about to become closer to them than ever before. He was about to take up his abode within them by the power of the Holy Spirit, granting them the knowledge of the one true God in Jesus Christ. Not academic knowledge, not the knowledge that comes through the eyes or through the ears. We weigh that knowledge so heavily in this day and age where we're so materialistic. That's the only kind of knowledge that matters, right? The knowledge that they were going to have was the knowledge of communion. The eyes of their soul were to perceive and to receive Christ himself. They would see light of light. They would see true God of true God. And that light and that God would take up their abode within them. This was the promise of the Father. This is what the disciples anticipated. And this is, of course, what we anticipate renewal in on that great day of Pentecost, which is just next Sunday. The Lord's ascension into heaven reveals to us what's coming. For us, the kingdom of heaven. What does the Lord say to his disciples? In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and welcome you into my presence, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Lord ascends to heaven to make a place for us, so that where he is, we too might be. Ascension brings the anticipation of heaven. It also brings the anticipation of the second coming, because he's coming back. Remember when the disciples were looking up and they saw the Lord ascend into heaven? What did the angels there say? Men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking to the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. And that's what the Lord foretold. He said at that time, all the world will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to happen, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. The Lord is talking about his second coming, which will be, in a sense, the inverse of his ascent into heaven. He'll be coming with great glory to establish this new age, to bring us into this fullness of the kingdom of heaven. You know, there were many people who were offended by the Lord's teaching in his life. There were many people that struggled with it. It was hard, they didn't like it, and they pushed back. In John chapter 6, we hear that Jesus, aware that his disciples were grumbling against his teaching, he asked them, does this offend you? Then what will happen if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? You see, the ascension into heaven confirmed the disciples. He says elsewhere, if I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no one ascended up to heaven except he who came down from heaven, the Son of Man who is in heaven. When the Lord ascended to heaven, he confirmed to the disciples who he was. As the Messiah, as the Christ, as the victor over sin, death, and the devil, but also as the God-man, he revealed to them his divinity. Didn't they know that he was God? Well, they had their thoughts, they had their ideas. He was revealing this to them, but they didn't have this assurity yet. They didn't know for sure. Even when he appeared after his resurrection, it says in the Gospels that some of them, they didn't believe, they doubted. They're seeing him risen from the dead, standing in their midst. Their eyes are seeing, right? Their hands are touching, all that material evidence, but still they didn't believe, they doubted. Why? Why? Because their souls were not yet united to him. They didn't know with certainty that he was God. This is why the scriptures say it's only in the Holy Spirit that we call Jesus the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals to us his divinity, that communicates to us his divinity. It's in the Holy Spirit that we know for certain. And this is why the Lord said to the apostles, I tell you the truth, it is to your benefit that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. He will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. Isn't he the truth? Absolutely. But he was still, as of yet, external to them. He will guide you into all truth. He will glorify me by taking what is mine and giving it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. That is why I said that the Spirit will take up what is mine and disclose it to you. The Holy Spirit communicates the life of God in Trinity to us by participation, by experience. And we realize who this Jesus of Nazareth was and is. We answer with certainty that question, whom do men say that I am? That Jesus Christ is the God-man. We sung in the Troparion today, through the blessing, they, the disciples, were assured that thou art the Son of God, the Redeemer of the world. What was the blessing when he ascended, right? He was blessing them. But what is this blessing referring to? The gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the blessing, the promise of the Father. That's what's poured out. And that's what confirms, again, this knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. Today, as we celebrate this ascension, as we come to the close of the Paschal season, as we await the gift of the Holy Spirit again on Pentecost, As all of these things are in our minds and hearts, the Church brings to our remembrance the fathers of the First Ecumenical Council in Nicaea. These were the fathers that gathered together and wrote down what we have in the Creed. What's the Creed? It's our confession of faith. We sing it in the Church in the Divine Liturgy. We say it in our morning and evening prayers. We say the Creed all the time, reminding us of the certainty that's communicated to us. You know, it was these fathers that gathered together in council that wrote this creed, not as something that they came up with, not as some kind of new ideas or new thoughts. They wrote this creed because that's what they had been handed. That's what had been given to them, this knowledge of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they wrote this creed to codify that against those who were speaking to the contrary. Arius, that false priest, was teaching heresy, that the Son was not equal to the Father, that Christ was not truly God. And the fathers wrote, no, actually, he is true God. Light of light, true God of true God. They said he's consubstantial with the Father. What does the word consubstantial mean? Equal to the Father. And they said that the Holy Spirit, likewise, who proceeds from the Father, he's part of the triune Godhead. And we know this knowledge in the Church. Right? Remember that section in the Creed that speaks to us about the Church? Because without the Church, we would not know this. We would not have this certainty that's communicated through the Holy Spirit. When Christ ascends to heaven, he says something to the disciples as they're fearful that they're losing him, as they're sorrowful that they're losing him. He says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Christ is with us always, even unto the end of the age. But how? He's ascending to heaven. Our eyes don't see him anymore, ears don't hear him anymore, we can't touch him anymore. How's he here? Just as he was telling them, he's here because he's within us, and we are within him. St. Paul speaks about this mystery. He says, Christ is the head, we are the body. The Church is the divine human organism. This union with God, that's what the Church is. Christ is the head of the body. He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in their midst. Who is it that baptizes us in the baptismal waters that he sanctified in the Jordan River, but Christ himself? Who is it that blesses our marriages like he did in Cana of Galilee? Who is it that forgives our sins through the disciples whom he gave the Holy Spirit? Who is it that heals and restores us, counseling us to go and sin no more? Who is it that consecrates bishops, ordains priests and deacons, choosing candidates like he chose the disciples? Who is it that buries the dead, placing the bodies in the earth like seeds to be raised up to resurrection on the last day? Who is it that receives the souls of the righteous and brings them into paradise, like he brought the wise thief? Who is it that opens the scriptures to us and our hearts burn within us, like they did for Luke and Cleopas on the road to Emmaus? Who is it that speaks the truth to us no matter what we think or what the world says to the contrary? And who is it that makes himself known to us in the breaking of bread? Christ. How could he do all of this if he were simply a mere man? How could he? The answer is he could not. And the fathers knew that. They knew the life of the Church, which was the life of Christ. They knew it by not only what they had been told, but what they had experienced. They knew that Christ was God because he was in their midst. And he was in their midst in a way more powerful than he was in the midst of the disciples when he walked the earth with them for 3 years. Because he was within them. Brothers and sisters, this is the great gift of belonging to the Church. To have communion with God and to know him as he truly is. To participate in eternal life. This is the time for us to rejoice greatly. To give glory to God in Jesus Christ, to the Holy Spirit. To recommit ourselves to this life in Christ. Next Sunday is Great and Holy Pentecost. What are you are your plans? If they don't involve coming here for church, cancel them. Call people in advance who haven't been here, who are members of the church but are not participating in the life of Christ. Get them on the phone. Go see them in person. Bring them here. There is nothing else that matters in this life but the salvation that Christ has for us, this union with Him and through Him with one another. And this is what we're renewed in on Great and Holy Pentecost. Brothers and sisters, these last 40 days of the resurrection should have been a time of great festivity for us, without question. I hope they were. This time from the ascension into Pentecost, even more festivity, because we celebrate Christ's ascent into heaven. But what's coming? What's coming is the communication of the life of Christ, a renewal in Him to us in Great and Holy Pentecost. That brings even more joy, even more festivity. If we wasted the 40 days, if we wasted the 10 days of the Ascension, don't waste Pentecost. Don't miss it. Be renewed in Christ. The glory of the Father and the Holy Spirit. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.